If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
...love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone, tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Well, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Man, is this going to feel great to say welcome to Talking Golf Getaways 2021. And Darren, excited doesn't begin to cover it. We have an entire slew of new stuff for the new year, including a new unbelievable producer. And a brand new, well, kind of brand new intro.
That is right. Of all the stuff we're going to do with Talking Golf Getaways and Golf Trip Experts in 2021, I might be most excited about the intro. And we only have the intro because of our new producer, Chris McEwen, who has his own podcast called Golf Origin Stories and now has joined our team. And I mean, this intro, Mitch, I just can't stop laughing at it. I hope the listeners truly appreciate it. It was inspired by your classic sci-fi work in the film Sinjinor. All the quotes come from Sinjinor. They're all delivered by you, except the orgy line, which I'm not sure the actor for that one, but he delivered it perfectly. So here's what you need to know about the intro. It has all kinds of different things that kind of thread the three of us together. And that is, first of all, Ava, still the voice of Talking Golf Getaways.
And Ava being my wife, for those of you who
your wife, know. Your lovely wife, Ava Mattia Lawrence, the Billiards Hall of Famer. If we had cut her out of it, you and I might have suffered significant wrath.
Well, but you're in California. The significant wrath I would face would be slightly more aggressive and permanent.
Yes, that is true. Okay. So, as I mentioned, all the quotes are from Sinjinor. And if you have not found your DVD of Sinjinor, because I'm pretty sure it's not streaming anywhere, you should get it. I'm thinking about now I have a way to strip video from DVDs onto my computer. I'm thinking about just putting it up for anybody who wants to stream it off of a Dropbox so that people can truly experience Sinjinor for all the glory that it provides.
It'll be the greatest movie going experience of their lifetime.
There's no doubt about it. You know, it's a certified fresh, as they say these days. the other thing that ties us all together is the lead in music that you heard in the background there is from a band called Clem Snide. And there's some significance there because when I was on Chris's Golf Origin Stories, I'm sure bored the audience to tears by getting off on a tangent about TV shows we love and TV shows that weren't available to stream. And we started talking about the show Ed, which is about a bowling alley, starred Tom Cavanaugh and Julie Bowen, who later was on Lost and Modern Family. And Chris used the Foo Fighters song Next Year as my lead in to that podcast episode, because that was the theme that most people know to Ed. And I texted him afterward and I said, man, that is awesome. But you really would have blown me away if you found the original pilot theme song, which was Moment in the Sun from Clem Snide, which, you know, Moment in the Sun, that always feels appropriate for what we do here at Talking Golf Getaways. So Chris did track it down. He wove that into this beautiful intro. And now we've got a brand new intro. And I couldn't be prouder of all of us for what we've achieved.
Well, I when I heard the intro and then I realized that and I knew you guys, I obviously listened to your Golf Origin Stories with Chris. And we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff about Chris because unbelievably, in a real just bizarre coincidence, Chris McEwen happens to be our guest on Talking Golf Getaways today.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened, but it did. So we can ask him about that. Music's a big part of his life. We'll get into that. But bottom line is we're glad you found us wherever you consume your podcast. That's the big deal because you're going to get some great stuff coming up in 2021. Apple Audio Boom, as always, on the Golf Trip Experts website at golftripx.com. You can find Darren at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence on those same social medias. And now I'm going to give you another cosmic contact as we roll into this new year so you can start becoming, if you're not already, and if you're not already familiar with Chris, shame on you. But he also, I want to give you his contact information. It's pretty simple. It's really smart of Chris, I think. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Chris McEwen. Well, the Facebook doesn't have the app, but you get the idea. And we'll get into some other ways you can find him since apparently he's planning on building out his media empire even as we speak. So there are some other ways, but I got to tell you, this is we've all been kind of, especially because of the pandemic, Darren, we've all been in this kind of funk of moving along, doing things, keeping going, trying to be positive. But I have to tell you, when you came across this idea, Chris jumped in, which just kind of blew me away, given how busy he is. But this is just really exciting. And I love the fact that Chris is here with us and will be here with us, assuming after this first podcast, he still wants to be with us there.
Chris, what do you think? How's it going so far?
It's as expected. It's as expected.
That is I feel like a non-answer.
I know you guys well enough to come to expect this kind of stuff, but I am just I can't tell you how thankful I am that you thought to pull me in to this little podcast of yours. I'm so happy. And I remember the when you first texted me and asked that, yes. I couldn't answer yes fast enough to be a part of it. So
you answered so quickly, I wasn't sure you understood the question. I was like, okay, I'm asking you to work with Mitch and I. Are you sure you're saying yes?
It's an easy yes for
me.
Yeah,
we've had a couple of no's before, but we won't get into those. So anyway, right. thanks for being here. We're gonna roll into obviously talking about you, talking about golf origin stories and some other stuff. But before we do, we like to at times, and this is one of those times.
Mitch, even before you get into that, I mean, it feels like we should toast 2021 kind of. We're known for having a drink or two on the show. You've already been playing golf today and been drinking heavily, apparently, on the golf course.
Well, if you started off the way I did, you would have been drinking too. So.
I have as you know, and I've mentioned on the podcast before, I get a whiskey advent calendar that my lovely wife, Jill, gets me every year. And this year, I've been saving this little dram of Highland Park Valfather single malt scotch whiskey just to toast 2021 in our first podcast. Now we found out that Chris is a whiskey drinker. He loves the whiskey.
It's true.
We do. But Chris, you won't be toasting in spirit today. Tell us why.
Yeah, I'm participating in dry January, as I have every year for the past few years. So I can join you with my what is probably my seventh cup of coffee of the day.
You're going to hear the
close
seventh
your eyes and pretend. All right. Well, Darren, that's a great idea. Cheers, gang.
Cheers.
And to those of you out there, same. Let this be a great, great, great year of 2021.
Yep.
All right. So now let's get started. We, as I said, we like to start sometimes with the best thing you've done, seen, or read about. And so, Darren, why don't you start? Because you just had an unbelievable event happen at Rams Hill.
Well, yeah. I mean, for people, if you're new to the podcast, I work as the marketing director at Rams Hill Golf Club in Borrego Springs, California, which is somewhere in the middle of nowhere between San Diego and Palm Springs. And the Golfer's Journal magazine came out and did an event yesterday, as we're recording this on a Tuesday. And I just want to give a shout out to those guys. It's what they've done. As a guy who ran a magazine for a long, long time, I ran Fairways and Greens and then I ran Golf Getaways. I understand what it takes to try to do something like that. And when you then add events into that, we did a big event at Sweetens Cove, Mitch, you and I, you know, for Golf Trip X a couple summers ago. There's so much work goes into both of those things, magazines and events. And these guys just have it dialed in. I mean, it's just seamless. They do, I think, between 6 and 8 of them a year. I know they're going to Mexico this year. They're going to Sand Valley. But they started off their outings for 2021 with the outing at Rams Hill. They had the Golfers Journal van there, which is just a fantastic piece of Mercedes machinery that has the Golfers Journal logo on it. And it was a fun day. They played this great format that, you know, we're talking about fun formats all the time, Mitch. They played better ball for the first 9 holes. They played a shamble for the second 9 holes. And then they turned the final, they turned the entire golf course all into par threes for the final 9 holes. And they played alternate shot on those par threes. And it was just, it was so much fun to be out there. Lots of good people, lots of longtime Golfers Journal people, and then some new people. Matt Janella and John Ashworth happened to be out there because Matt is now living in San Diego. So it was just, it was a fun time. You know, I like to say it's always a fun time at Rams Hill, but it was especially fun being with those people. And just a big shout out to the Golfers Journal guys, Tim Woodruff, Mark Warman, and Casey Bannon, just a few of the team that really made that thing up, and it was just a lot of fun. And I want to mention one other thing about Borrego Springs, and I think this is one of these questions we will dive deep into in a future podcast this year. Now that we're going to be doing them much more regularly, I don't think we mentioned up top, we're going to try to record every other Tuesday. And the podcast is going to be posted every other Thursday. So we'll have a lot less lag time now that Chris is on board to actually produce and edit the podcast instead of my slow ass. So, I mean, that's probably the number one reason to have Chris is to take me out of that process because I am not good at it. But here's the question. And if you guys had a quick answer, you could throw it in here. But what's a special food that you have to get every time you make a specific trip someplace? And what I mean by that is anytime I drive north out of Bakersfield, I stop in the little town of Merced. Like if I'm going to Bandon or Gamble or wherever, I stop in the little town of Merced and I get my favorite pizza anywhere in the world, which is a place called Pizza Villa. Now in Borrego Springs, every time I go down to Rams Hill, I have a new place. It is a little basically strip mall coffee shop called Calico's. And I'm literally eating one right now, Mitch. They make the best homemade coffee cake and possibly the best fruit turnovers of any place I've ever been anywhere in the world. And I literally cannot go down there now without stopping in there just to load up. And actually yesterday I loaded up, I got 2 turnovers and 2 coffee cakes just so I could bring them home and eat them while I'm here. So I think someday we should have that question. We should throw it out on Instagram and Twitter for people to answer and kind of what are the foods that make up the journey to your favorite golf courses? Not just the foods that you eat once you're there, but do you have these kind of regular places that you stop to, you know, to just because you can't get enough of a certain food or a certain place?
Does beer count as food?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because anytime I go to Wisconsin, I'm coming back with a box of New Glarus because it doesn't leave Wisconsin. So we have to always bring some back.
I think that sounds great. That's perfect. And beer is a food.
That is exactly in the vein of what I'm asking. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Another one would be like, you know, we don't make a trip to Tobacco Road without going to Davison Steakhouse. You know, that's not at the resort. I mean, that's not at the golf course, but it is a pilgrimage that we make every time we go to Sanford, North Carolina, or Yarborough Ice Cream.
I was going to say,
you know, Sanford's got all kinds of places. We could spend a whole episode talking about the places we eat in Sanford.
Yeah. All right. But nobody's interested right now. Let's move along. And I just want to say, I'm really, really glad that the Golfers Journal and Rams Hill got together. I have to say that there have been 14 now, and with every one I get, I'm more blown away. And I don't think I can state that more strongly. I absolutely love everything about the Golfers Journal.
Fantastic job they're doing with that.
We could get into it now. And I know, Chris, you have some feelings about something you read too, but mm-hmm. the stuff in this last one, there were a couple of things that I just couldn't. One of them is a piece by Tom Coyne, which is just off the charts about his journey to sobriety and this league of guys that he hangs out with and how golf basically saved his life. And when I was reading it, you know, normally I'll try to kind of skim through the magazine quickly at first, look at the pictures, see who's written stuff, try to get through it so then I can dive deeper when I have some time. And I started reading because we're big fans. Tom has been on the podcast. We love Tom Coyne. And I started reading his article, and I literally told myself to slow down and just like appreciating a piece of art when you go to a museum. And I literally, with every sentence, I just took it really slow. It is absolutely brave, courageous, magnificent, incredibly well written. But anyway, so there's always something in there. As far as what I loved seeing this week, there was, for those of you who might not know it, there used to be a course called the Lido Golf Course on Long Island, which happened. Lido is actually still there. Lido Beach is actually 20 minutes from where I grew up, and I did not play golf. The golf course, which was kind of alive and running for about 10 years only, was designed by C.B. McDonald and Seth Rayner. And according to everybody that knows anything about classic golf architecture, I am not one of them, but all the people that I really trust in this particular vein, Lido was said to be the greatest golf course that fill in a blank name had ever played. But it was lost. It literally was lost and just kind of forgotten and goodbye. And after I started playing golf, and when I went to visit my mom on Long Island, I once drove to where the golf course had been because I'd heard so much about it just to kind of survey the area that it used to exist on. And then a few days ago on Twitter, there was a big splash because Mike and Chris Kaiser are about to start a project near just north of Sand Valley, and they are going to have Tom Doak literally recreate the Lido, which to me is just, I kind of was blown away by the whole idea of it. Now, obviously, it's near Sand Valley. It is not on Long Island, and there's no water there.
Right.
Somebody on Twitter said, are the Kaisers planning on bringing the Atlantic Ocean into Sand Valley, which I thought was great. But anyway, it was something that kind of I really picked up on because I think the idea of it and the fact that the Kaisers are doing it when there's been so, and I can already feel it, you know, and I think I saw Chris, if you had seen the same kind of threads I've been seeing that they talked about certain days, I think it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be kind of a members course.
Yeah. And it's going to be like a hybrid.
Yeah. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sand Valley guests will be able to play it also. So I think it's going to be in the coming months, whenever they can get to it and get it finished, I think it's going to be just something additional for people like me who haven't been to Sand Valley yet that will jump all over it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be phenomenal. And I was struck in the press release about it that we're really now seeing, and you and I got a hint of this a long time ago, Mitch, when we had Michael Jr. on the podcast way back when we started the podcast, and they were starting to move in the direction of the Suns kind of, you know, taking that over. I mean, Mr. Kaiser is getting older and you know, these Michael and Chris now, you know, this was the first real step I saw in terms of the messaging and everything about this, that it's the Suns. The Suns are building this, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously Tom Doak is the architect on the project, but you know, we're seeing a transition in the Kaiser family from father to sons, and I think it's great because those two guys are fantastic, and they're good for golf, and that family obviously has been good for golf for years, and will continue to be with ideas like this.
All right. So, Chris?
Yes, Mitch.
You still with
my
us?
Turn?
Yeah, you still with us?
I am.
I'm just checking. We're going to get used to this. You know, I want to make sure you're still in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So coincidentally, I'm a new subscriber to the Golfer's Journal. And so the winter 2020, the 14th edition is my first edition.
Nice.
So I've just jumped on the Golfer's Journal train, so to speak. And I don't know why it took me so long. I read so much and I love photography and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like that's, and I love golf. And the only thing's missing is like a Pearl Jam, article, but yeah, and then it would be perfect. But, I read, cause I'm going to have him on my show, Laz Versailles. Mm-hmm. He wrote something, in this, recent edition called Life in the Front Row. And it was born from just kind of an aside where he kept seeing the same guy behind the ropes at all of the different Masters throughout the years, like from, you know, early 80s until I think early 2000s, he kept seeing this guy. And so he kind of put out into the universe, like, who is this guy? And he tracked down like the family and told the story. And each, like you were talking about how you wanted to slow down and really kind of absorb what Tom Coyne was writing. This story about the Count, Bill Kahneman, just keeps on getting more and more interesting as you read. It's fascinating. It's just, I loved it so much. And I can't wait to talk to Laz about it because it's just mind blowing how this, it was born, you know, from Twitter, turned into this story. And if you can hear, as you read the story, you can hear or feel Laz's own kind of just incredulousness around how this thing keeps adding layers to it. And the people that Bill interacted with throughout his life. And he was this larger than life kind of human. And it's just a fantastic story. And I loved it.
Isn't that great? You know, what's interesting, because I saw it in this Golfer's Journal and I haven't had a chance to read it, but I've just started following Laz on Twitter. For some reason, I hadn't really caught up with him, but I've been.
You need to prepare yourself. He is like the king of the Twitter thread.
But it's great. I mean, it's great. That's the stuff I love about Twitter. That's when you find people for whatever reason that have been under your radar, and then all of a sudden you click into something you see because somebody else liked it, and
right.
you go, "Wait a minute, where's this been? What?
Yeah,
what?"
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's great that you're saying that. Now I can't. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get off the pod and go read it now. I'll see you guys later.
That same thing.
I'll see you guys later.
All right. So Mitchell, I have a suggestion now. We're going to move into the bulk of the podcast here. We've only been talking for 20 something minutes, so we might as well get into the meat of it. But I have been struck over the last couple of years with the people. You do these beautiful intros for each guest, and I've been struck with that people just absolutely love them once you do them. And I think they need their own name. In fact, I think they need their own theme song, but that's something for later on. But I think we should.
I'll put that down on the whiteboard.
Yeah, please do.
Make a theme song.
I think we should call them the Mitro. So here we go. It's time for Chris McEwen. Here's the Mitro. Go.
Hey, I'm game. That's fine. Of course, now the pressure of doing the first Mitro for Chris McEwen while Chris is on the show and now produce. I mean, really, I don't know. Maybe I'll just say, okay, you've already heard from Chris. Chris, tell us about yourself. There's your intro. Well, Darren, thanks. I appreciate that. I love doing intros for people. I always find it fascinating to do a little research and find out about them. So I'm going to get going. Here you go. Here you go, Chris. Here's your Mitro.
All right, I'm ready.
given that you're here, anything I say, if it's, you know, misleading or incorrect, just jump in. You can now, as a producer, be part of the Mitro.
I hope it's all misleading.
So, oh, my God.
I hope like you just got it horribly wrong and he has to interrupt you like every 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, you started this whole thing. If you hadn't said anything, it wouldn't be going down this road. All right. Chris grew up in Chicago. He still lives in Chicago. I love Chicago. Darren, I don't know how you feel, but I love Chicago. And other than the winter, I'm kind of jealous that Chris actually lives there. But we're going to hear from him. He was introduced to golf at a young age through his family. But his real connection to the game came, fittingly for our Talking Golf Getaways podcast, by traveling when he got older, though he didn't realize it at the time when he visited his then transplanted family in their new home in Arizona. And it's a great story of familial rivalry, intrigue, and drama on the golf course. And though Chris does his golf media work, it's obviously the most important thing in his life. Right, Chris?
It's true.
Okay. He does have a couple of day jobs. I'm just going to drop him in here because it's so normal for us to have these kind of guests on the show. Chris... Not. Chris develops, this is what he does in his day jobs. And if you've listened to Chris and his golf origin stories, if you had asked me what kind of work Chris did away from golf, this is not what I would have said. Chris develops, and I'm quoting directly here, he develops internal communications, video, websites, newsletters, and pieces of training primarily around safety. And he also facilitates operational risk assessments for new projects. So basically, as I told him before we started recording, Chris is an undercover agent for some secret organization and really is we're glad he's there because he is protecting us all. Yeah, the golf stuff is fun, but Chris is protecting us all. So thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it. All right. Anyway, when I saw that, I went, Darren and I both thank him because he's raised the combined IQ of Darren and I by about 50 points just by being on the podcast. All right. So while he's protecting others with safety and risk assessment, he also decided to jump into the world of golf podcasting, because why not? And what started as an idea based on one simple question. Basically, how did you get started playing golf? Has become a forum for interesting stories, much deeper conversations with every guest he has on Golf Origin Stories. He has just marked his 1 year anniversary. Darn it, I forgot the champagne. Of Golf Origin Stories. It began on June 14th of 2020 with his own story, which I urge you to listen to if you haven't already. These 50 episodes, it's growing all the time. Fantastic people in our game, and not just in the game. You know, one thing I love about the Golf Origin Stories, yes, there are people who are involved in the game, but a lot of his guests are not. They don't do anything in golf as far as making a living or anything else, but they share the common passion for the game. And Chris's style, as soon as I heard it the first time, kind of hooked me into him. I hope I'm not adding pressure to you now, Chris, am I? And here's another part of the podcast that I love and that took me a little bit by surprise. Not the first one, not Chris's own Golf Origin Story, which started with music by Pearl Jam. And once you get to know Chris, you will know that Pearl Jam is the godhead of music. Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam, that's it. I mean, there's other great bands that Chris loves, but Pearl Jam is it. So the first, your story, when I heard the way you started the Golf Origin Stories podcast talking about Pearl Jam, I went, oh, that's cool. This guy loves music. It's cool. But then with each succeeding episode, now 50, the way you start with music and your connection to it and how it kind of fits into your guest, Darren talked about it with him, It's fantastic. And I have to say that I have learned, forget golf for the moment, but I have learned so much just listening to you about music. And I've actually started a list, this is the truth, of bands, singers, songs that I want to listen to based on you talking about them on your show. So that's another area that I thank you for. We're going to talk about it now. You can find Chris, again, at Chris McEwen, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also go to, and I should mention this because, as I said, he's building a media empire. he has a YouTube show, and it's really popular and gaining traction also. His pal, Billy Bush, it's called That Range Life. You can find it on YouTube. You can also go to drivingrangeheroes.com, which has a lot of great information. And I love, it's a pretty simple description about that range life. You guys call it a show sometimes about golf, which to me is brilliant because then you can literally obviously talk about anything. All right. Anyway, we've already welcomed you to the show, Chris, as a producer, welcome as a guest. Let's get into it. Let's just talk about it. I told you that I wanted people to listen to the first episode, My Story. And what a brilliant title. My Story.
So that's kind of an homage to another television show that I love called Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
Because every show is titled My Something. And so I figured I would just call it My Story.
Well, there you go.
And real quick, you know, you mentioned that you're building a list mm-hmm. of bands and songs and things. So for those of you that are listening to this on Spotify, when you're done, you can do a search on Golf Origin Story soundtrack, and every song that I have played on the podcast is there. I've created a playlist where you can go and you can subscribe to it. And wow. I add a song every week to it.
Wow. Okay, wait, give me a second. Because I'm just making a note to go do that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And if people haven't listened to the show and they're going to start, they will truly understand how great this stuff is. And that's brilliant by you. Brilliant.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. No, I'm glad that I can educate. I can't teach you anything about golf, that's for sure. So at least I can teach you a little bit about
some of the songs I listen to. You haven't seen me play yet. I'll take you up on that. All right. How did you just give us the basic kind of Cliff Notes? Well, you're probably too young to remember Cliff Notes, but.
I'm very familiar with Cliff Notes.
Okay. Good. My kind of person. Just give us the Cliff Notes version of the Golf Origin Story, how you decided to get into it. You talk about it a little on your story, but yeah. For these listeners, just give us the quick rundown.
So, yeah, a couple of things sort of. Aligned or collided, whatever it may be. Golf was always kind of around us. Like, you know, my grandfather, our uncles played, they would throw out a bucket of balls in the backyard at grandpa's house and we'd hit them until we got bored and then leave them for him to go pick up. God bless him. but ultimately what happened was, as you'd mentioned, my family, left for Arizona, years and years and years ago. And when they got there, my dad and two younger brothers, decided they were going to be good at golf without telling me. And so when I got to Arizona to visit them, we went on the golf course and they were like, good. I said, oh, all right, we're going to be good at this. Like, we're going to try. Like, this is a new thing, you know, because we were a baseball family. We didn't play golf. And so I came home. And at that same time, I was starting a job and I had started dating a girl who I would later marry. And the job was right across the street from a driving range. And the girl didn't like that I was a smoker. So to quit smoking, I would go to the driving range across the street and just bang balls until that cessation went away from me of having a cigarette. And you could imagine the number of hours I spent at the driving range trying not to smoke a cigarette. So basically every day, I talk about it in the first episode, the lunch time cigarette, like the middle of the day cigarette, is one of the best cigarettes you can have as a smoker. So noon, 12:30, I was across the street hitting balls for an hour until that went away. And that was it. I barely knew how to play the game. I barely knew the rules. I talk about that too in the first episode about how bad of a player I was in general.
I love the just tell the story about you being in the bunker.
Right. So that was, I think, yeah, we were out and I was in a bunker, you know, greenside bunker, and I was taking practice swings in the greenside bunker, hitting the sand just over and over and over, like you would do if you were in the fairway, you know, just kind of taking some practice swings. And my dad looked up and he's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I didn't know that was a penalty. It was probably like 8 strokes minimum, at least. But there's only one way to learn, I guess, and that is to, you know, play golf with my dad. So he set me straight.
I love the image of it. Yeah.
Have you been surprised by the popularity of it?
I've been shocked. I've been absolutely shocked. I still, it's hard to believe that. I mean, I've said it numerous times on the show itself, is that I started this thing as a wholly selfish endeavor. I use it as an excuse to talk to people like you, to talk to people that I want to talk to and that I want to hear their stories. And the fact that other people have found them interesting and entertaining enough to continue to listen has been amazing. And I profusely thank everyone. I think every episode, because to this day, you know, after 50 episodes, I can't believe there are people that aren't related to me that listen. Really. But yeah. And the other thing I'm always, and this is kind of just kind of a shout out to our golf world. And, you know, like Mitch was saying, there are people outside of the golf world too, musicians and athletes and things like that. The willingness for people to say yes to come on the show. And I know it's a simple premise, and I think people enjoy talking about and reminiscing about how they fell in love with this game that we all love so much. But I mean, Tom Coyne came on like in one of the first 10 episodes. Mitch came on, I think he was episode 3. Christina Kim came on, you know, very early. Like, these people just, they want to share this game with everybody, and everyone's so willing to come on. And that is also just, shocking.
Do you think that's why it strikes a chord? Because everybody who's ever picked up a club has an origin story.
I think so. I think, you know, and I've heard from a lot of people, one that like, I'll ask them to come on, like, oh, my story's not that great. And maybe to you, it's not, but to someone else, it's very relatable and they experience it the same way, or it helps them remember, you know, how they, you know, came into the game. Maybe it was a family member or a friend or whatever it was. And I think those kinds of things are really relatable, and they're just kind of fun to hear. And sometimes it's, you know, yeah, we have sort of quote unquote, you know, known people on, but then, you know, I'll have just a friend on, right? And they'll start telling stories that I didn't even know about. And so you may think, you know, so-and-so's golf origin story, but then when they get down into it, you're like, I had no idea, you know, is this and this and this. So, yeah, I think certainly the fact that people can relate to a lot of the stories is what drives the show listenership.
Has there been anything that surprised you, or what surprised you most about your guests? I mean, have you had any kind of real revelations that you kind of just went, oh my, that's just off the charts?
I think, one of the stories, from a pal, Dave, and he was on early in the season last year. You know, he worked at the country club or the golf course in Cooperstown. And I didn't know that, you know, when he came on the show or whatever, we were just kind of talking like I tend to do with my guests. And he dropped that little bit of knowledge. And then before you knew it, he's telling stories about Carlton Fisk, playing golf with him, riding in a golf cart with Bill Murray for what, you know, was 5 minutes and it felt like a half hour, you know, and just Bill Murray being Bill Murray and those kinds of things. So that was one of the more surprising stories that I wasn't expecting. The other piece of it, and I think, Mitch, you can attest to this, is it's happened a few times on the show, is that people legitimately get emotional about talking about how they fell in love with the game, you know, and mm-hmm. and that it gets to me too. You know, you can feel, you know, how much it meant to this person that whoever it was spent the time with them, or what this game has given back, you know, to us just by being able to play it. And I think that's part of, I'm a relatively, I would say, stoic human, but sometimes, you know, hearing those stories, you know, someone talking about their grandfather who, you know, they got to play the last round of their grandfather's life together. Right. That kind of stuff is just, it's so, I'm just so thankful that I get to hear those stories.
Well, you have to give yourself some, I agree, but you have to give yourself some credit too, because it takes a person who makes people feel comfortable talking about things that can be deeply emotional, as you said. So, you know, pat yourself on your back a little bit and say you're responsible for them being willing to open up about it too.
Yeah, for the most part, I just try to stay out of the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
But that's, you know, it is, I think, you know, not to, as, you know, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit and say that I do have a way of getting people comfortable.
Right.
Speaking. And so that's kind of, I guess, if I had a skill in this, I think that would be what it is.
It's a good way to have, man.
Yep. Okay. So let's talk golf because we are talking golf getaways. Chicago has some of the best golf in America. And we want to know some favorite places that you play close by within a day's drive. You can start with Lisonia. We would all be in favor of that. But just kind of, you know, what's your immediate golf universe look like?
Yeah. Boy, Lisonia is just the most wonderful place on earth. I just love it so much.
Do you like both golf courses?
I've gone there twice. I went twice last year. The first time we went, we did play both. And they're, you know, I mean, Lynx is the Lynx, right? I mean, that is just an incredible, fun, just an absolute blast of a golf course. You know, the other one is good. I think the other one is fine. It's tight. So tight.
It's got one of the weirdest 18th holes you'll ever find, too.
Yeah, and if you play Lynx first, and then you go and play the, I think it's the Forest or whatever it may be called.
Woodlands.
Woodlands, yeah. It's quite the whiplash.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on that first tee of Woodlands, you're like, oh my goodness, I've got nowhere to go. But I mean, they're both, I mean, the thing I love about Lisonia so much is just the golf culture of the place. It's golf. You go there, everyone's there to play golf, and there's no, it's not fancy or whatever. And it's, you know, kind of, it's inexpensive. You know, you can go there and play golf for the whole day for less than $200, and it's just a treat. And I love it. And they, you know, they give you, you know, when you go to get a bucket of balls for the range, for their little tiny range, they just give you a bucket and be like, here, fill it up. And I don't know. There's something that I love about that. I don't know. But anyways, a little closer to home, there's a couple of them. So I'm the only one that lives downtown in the city. All of my golf pals are, you know, they're spawning. So they're out in the suburbs with houses and things.
They're spawning. Right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that image of your circle of friends.
Right. So I have to travel quite a bit to go play golf. So I have like probably a 30-mile radius around the city. So I get around a little bit. A couple of them off the top of my head, I would say there's two like 27 hole sort of golf courses or whatever you want to call them. One's in Plainfield, Illinois called Lynx of Carillon. And it's never, so it's open year round, which is great. For those that don't want to walk, that want to ride a cart, it's never cart path only. And it's got probably the best drainage I've ever experienced on a golf. I mean, we've gone and played that golf course after just a soaking here, and it's untouched. It's just amazing. And it's 27 holes, and they do a great job not overcrowding the course. So it's a good pace of play course. It's really nice. And it's a Lynx style. It's wide open, so I can spray it everywhere and not, you know, be too punished for it. the other one, and this is a good tie into golf getaways because it's near the airport, O'Hare specifically. And that's in Schaumburg, the Schaumburg Golf Club, which just got a brand new full renovation, another 27 hole course. And it's kind of a secret, maybe a little bit. I mean, the real golf course architect crazies will already know this, but it was originally designed by William Lankford in the late 20s. Wow. Nice. Yeah. So it's really, and you know, Lankford's got his hands in a couple of courses around here because he's a Chicago kid, but was a Chicago kid. But yeah, so it's an original William Lankford, and then it was restored by Bob Lohman and his associates a few years ago. They went and restored 9 at a time. So it's just another great golf course with options. You know, you can go couple days, if you're in town for a couple days, and play the three combinations and kind of have a different experience each time. So that's a really good one too. We like that one a lot. And it's also not super expensive. I think it's somewhere around $60, for 18 in a cart. So
here's an interesting thing about the Links at Carillon. We do this for a living, and you feel like you've heard of every golf course designer. And every once in a while, Mitch will uncover somebody and we'll talk about him. But the designer at Links at Carillon is Greg Martin, which is a name I've absolutely never heard of before associated with golf architecture. So now I'm fascinated to just to go learn more about him and what he's done.
Yeah, it's there's one hole on that golf course. I guess it's their signature. It's called the Gauntlet. It's a par five. It's the 18th hole, I think, on the white course. And it's so much fun. There you have lots of options off the tee. So when we're playing Links at Carillon, my uncle's with me. His son-in-law, who is my cameraman, when I'm out, making videos and things. And we all approach that hole totally different, and it's great. It's so much fun. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's like a well-known guy per se, but he designed a really fun 27 hole golf course.
Cool. Very cool.
Lovely. Lovely. Let me ask you a question which struck me kind of, because I'm always interested in, Darren and I pretty much have been doing this golf thing together for a while now. It's been a big part of our life. Now, I did other things, acting, doing sports commentary. Darren has done Sinjinor. I think we should just drink every time we say Sinjinor now. It's like Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire. Drink. Every time we say Sinjinor, boom.
And if you say Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, and Sinjinor in the same sentence, then the podcasting world should just implode upon itself.
Oh, my God. I think we have to hold off on that for a while and let the pressure build. But it's always interesting to me, and there are people, the game is so addictive and so can become so obsessively part of our lives and our thoughts that people who do other jobs and really live other lives away from golf kind of sometimes sneak in, start doing something, and before you know it, this is their thing. All of a sudden they go, okay, I'm here. And I'm grateful to that other work, but I'm doing this. Do you ever think about that? Do you feel like if I get a shot at doing this so that I can make a living, that I can do the thing I want to do? Do you think about that? Is that something you're interested in, or is your life?
I think about it at least once a day, if not more than once a day.
Okay. Yeah. Could you combine the two and just take, maybe find the safety and risk assessment factors of golf courses?
I mean, we have to build golf courses. There's some danger there, right?
You're darn right. And playing, there's definite danger.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. In fact, you'll see this season on Golf Origin Stories as part of my own kind of push towards that goal. I'm having a lot, many more people on that did just that, that decided to take the leap and do it.
Right.
And kind of their story about, this week it's Chippo, right? And so I had Brendan McCauley on to talk about, his decision to like, we're going to go for it. We're going to try to start this company and do it. His is a huge success, but I'm going to have many more people on to tell those stories. And cause I need to hear that. And I think it could help others too, that maybe it's not golf, maybe it's something else, but to have the confidence and the desire, if you've got that to do it, right. Go and do it.
Right. Yeah. I think it's great. Kudos, man.
Okay. One final question from me before we dive into a lightning round emergency nine for you, but, let's talk about pop culture because, we've mentioned this already today. You have a heavy dose of music intertwined into Golf Origin Stories. But in our episode, we also talked about TV and other stuff. What made you want to add that extra dimension into the podcast? Because I think it really does kind of take Golf Origin Stories from just being golf to more things that kind of we all can relate to.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I can't remember if it was an if it was an active decision or it was just because it's what I know. Because I am such kind of a, like, I love television. I love television. And I love music. And so I think it was just like this natural thing for me to add. I'm certainly, I mean, the music piece of it was an active decision. I wanted to do that part of it, as a thing, but the TV stuff and the pop culture stuff, I don't know. It's part of my, it's part of who I am, I guess. So I figured I might as well bring it and hopefully people enjoy it. And that was kind of it. And, you know, I got to sort of, to get the jump on Mitch when I had him on the show and talk about some of the stuff I've seen him in, which is so exciting. I think just the success from that and being comfortable talking about that really sort of, you know, catapulted that idea into episodes in the future.
Let me, before we get to the E9, because I played guitar growing up.
What?
I took lessons. Yeah. And I played, but not, I was in a band in seventh grade. Does that count?
Yes.
Me and Elwin Schwartz, who I just saw at my 50th high school reunion, literally. And we talked about being in a band in seventh grade together. So this stuff doesn't leave you. That's the amazing part about it.
No.
What I wanted to ask you was, you talk about playing guitar and being a musician. You know, I see pictures of you when I look at your video stuff, and there's guitars on the wall. And mm-hmm. How much do you play every day? Are you still actively
a musician? I play about every day. Yeah, I play. I mean, I'm a at home musician for the most part. I don't play out anymore. I play out once a year in Arizona for family and friends, and that's about it. And so I'm constantly, but you know, it's just like, I don't know, golf, anything else is that, it's just, how many times that, I don't know, you sit around and have a golf club or a golf ball in your hand, just kind of, you know, fidgeting. Mm-hmm. I do the same thing, but with a guitar. Right. And so, you know, I love to learn about it. I'm self-taught. So there's so, I have terrible posture when I play. I know I'm an inefficient guitar player, but I've learned the way that I learn, just like, you know, people learn to swing a golf club the way they learn to swing a golf club.
You just described my golf swing.
Right. I mean, that's what, you know,
posture.
So I still play every day, probably for like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes or so, just kind of either playing a song that I love to play or learning something new. You know, yeah, that's about it. It's more of like today it's become, especially now since it's winter and I can't go play golf, it's really just kind of something that'll bring me sort of some calm to my life and my day.
I noticed one of the episodes you did, and I can't remember his name now because I started to listen to it and something came up, but a guitar teacher, a guitarist who was working with you, and you've learned Pearl Jam stuff and...
Oh man, Ryan Lent. On YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's a really fun story. He, you know, he started doing these online YouTube sort of videos where he would teach a song, and it just like took off. He's got over 50,000, you know, subscribers now, and he's a huge deal. And yeah, he also is a golf obsessed weirdo like the rest of us. And so I had him on the show so we could talk about both, but yeah, he's taught me so many songs. I mean, when we talked, you know, during the episode, I did learn to play guitar by playing, you know, everyone else's song. So I would go and look up, you know, the tab, it's called a tablature. It shows you basically where to put your hands on a guitar. And that's how I learned. I didn't know what a C chord was necessarily. I knew where to put my hand to make a C, but I didn't know what an actual C mm-hmm. chord was. And so he kind of teaches that, but in real, like in video form. And it's amazing. It's so great.
How cool.
Oh,
all right. I'm going to off this. I'm going to get to you because I've decided that I wanted to start kind of playing again.
Oh, awesome.
For the same reasons that you talk about when you're just kind of around. I have a guitar here in my office. I stare at it and Every, I don't know, once a month I'll pick it up and play Blackbird, which is about the only song I remember.
There you go. That's so, fine. You know, play that same song.
I imagine
that you and Darren are kind of the same way as I am. I have a hard time, especially now with the podcast, because I'm constantly sort of looking at what's next, who can I get, you know, reaching out to people, scheduling stuff. It's nonstop, right? Mm-hmm. It's a good way to just kind of shut my brain off.
Right.
Like fully just kind of zone out and just do something totally different.
Well, Darren does that naturally. I actually have to work it. Yeah. Thank you. Do we have a rim shot? Can you put a rim shot on the show, Chris?
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to invent a portable one that you just carry around in your hand. And anytime somebody says something really stupid, you just hit the rim shot thing.
I'll bet you there's an app for that now.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. I'll bet you there is. All right. Well, obviously, this has been great stuff. We'll talk more over the years as we continue to do these podcasts with you. But let's do this. Let's just go right into our speed round.
So
ramp it up. Do you need more coffee?
Not good.
How could he possibly need more coffee?
Well, I don't know. We're ramping it up. He's leveled off somewhere over LaGuardia. And if you know where that line comes from. Okay. All right. So your emergency nine, we're going to start with your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world.
So I haven't done a ton of traveling to resorts necessarily, but I will tell you that Forest Dunes / The Loop is currently my number one. It's the greatest place on earth. I think about it at least once a week, if not more. The people there are the nicest people I've ever met. And the golf is just fantastic. The whole thing, I talked about the culture of a golf course earlier. Everything about that place is just absolutely perfect. And I love it.
When was the last time you were there?
I went 2018.
So you, like me, need to go back to see the
and like me.
Absolutely yeah, need to go back. And it's
the course was getting built. We just all haven't played it, right?
Yeah, right. I was going to go in May last year to play the duel where you play the loop in both directions in the same day. Mm-hmm. And obviously I wasn't able to do that. So yeah.
They're doing it again though. I just saw something that they've started to plan it. I did when I was there, luckily. Keith and Riley Johns were there, and I got to go out and walk some dirt with them and talk to them.
That's awesome.
So the fact that it's done, I just kind of go, okay. Because I agree with you. I did not get to play the actual Forest Dunes course when I was there, unfortunately. But I did play the loop, and I flipped. Completely flipped. We played it twice, and I just...
Yeah, blew my mind.
Yeah.
It absolutely blew my mind.
Okay, what is the... I mean, you have not traveled as much as us, so you have a much wider net to cast for this question. What destination is at the top of your golf travel bucket list?
Rams Hill.
You suck up. Oh, my God.
Oh, the new guy kisses up. You got to love
it. Oh, my God.
I mean, making Rams Hill a bucket list item because it is a ton of fun, but something else.
It is legitimately a bucket list item, but mostly for the cookies.
There you go.
Now that you brought it up, I ate 7 apple caramel cookies yesterday during the Golfers Journal event.
That's amazing.
The woman there, Amy Shumway, who's the concierge, had to run up to one of the golf houses that we have. And for some reason, the people who had stayed in the golf house didn't eat all their cookies that they got. And she brought them back and hid them in her office where I was the only one besides her. They were in there. And I walked by and grabbed one like pretty much every 30, 45 minutes and just ate them all day.
That's awesome.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Bandon has to be top of the list. But I haven't done anything in the Southeast. So like Tobacco Road, Sweden's Cove, Pinehurst, like all that stuff I have to experience still. Those are top of list within the States, at least.
Do you have ideas or desires of places to go overseas?
I mean, I would, yes. But I'm going to rely on Eric. I'm just going to tell Eric, I'm going to get on a plane and Eric Hart, and just you tell me where to go.
That's not a bad way to do it. Cause yeah. I've seen a lot of Scotland and a lot of Ireland.
Yeah. So. And so, I haven't been to either of the, I've traveled, my wife and I, when we could travel, love to travel. We've been, all over Europe and Spain and those sorts of places. But, I'm holding off on the Ireland, Scotland trip specifically for golf. And so when that time comes, I will be, you'll know, because I'll have, there'll be some sort of either group email or text thread going on where I will be taking all of your, guidance.
Nice.
On that.
Cool. All right. Speaking of traveling, where's the best place you ever stayed? That really jumps out.
Yeah. So, every year in Arizona again, and this is probably a cheat, but, we rent, I host a rather large golf trip tournament kind of thing. Last year there were, or 2 years ago, there were 48 of us, 26 of us stayed in a house. So we rent these massive, massive houses, either in Scottsdale or, you know, up north. And so, you know, these, like the one house that we stayed in actually legitimately had a secret room behind a bookcase.
Nice.
And that was my room, and it was fantastic. It was so cool. But yeah, that's the kind of place, like, you know, with a huge pool and we all get together and sort of, just hang out for about 4 days in this massive house and play a bunch of golf.
Do you do
so? Basically, you go back to college and you live in a fraternity house.
It's very much like that. Yes.
Do you do
except we have money.
Do you do
it's even more dangerous.
Do you do the trip at the same time each year?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we actually it's kind of funny. We figured out, and the reason that we started to inch our way up north is because we do it in July.
Got it.
In Arizona. And so we did the first couple of years in Scottsdale, but, you know, like we have a lot of, you know, my dad plays and our uncles come. And so we've been trying to, you know, not cook them. And so we've started to go up north where it's a little cooler, but yeah, we usually go in July.
Do you go to Flagstaff?
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. The past 3 years we've been up in Flag. It's been fantastic.
Cool. You know what Flagstaff is known for, Mitch? The Diablo burger.
Oh my, of course, who could forget?
All right. Speaking of Diablo burger and Flagstaff, what is the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip and where?
This is a tough one. I would say, I think the Forest Dunes has a burger, speaking of burgers, that, is so good. So good. I think we were there 3 nights. I must have had it 4 times.
So three dinners and then breakfast.
Right. I just kept hitting. And I love, you know, you guys talk about, you know, when the show started, about certain foods that you'll hit on the way to certain courses or whatever. But I love to take in, like, where's your best burger? Point me to your best burger. Who's got the best burger? And I'll go and eat a good cheeseburger.
That's a good goal to have.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to send you to Dunn Vegans in St. Andrews so you can have a haggis burger.
Nice.
All right. I'm in.
Oh. Okay. Just mark it down. You got a post-it note? Just put it on your door. All right. So this is, we always sort of have a kind of feeling where this might be going, but often it's different too. Besides the golf and the people, which are pretty obvious, what's the most important thing to you on a trip?
It's a tough one. I think I don't know if this counts as the people necessarily, but, and I talked about like Lasonia and Forest Dunes, but I just like a welcoming culture. Mm. And, you know, if you think about that, we kind of take that for granted, but, you know, when we show up at a golf course, we are one of how many hundreds of people that show up that day. Mm-hmm. And it would be an easy thing to do to just sort of, you know, cash it in as you check people in, but those, or a starter that just says like, here's your card, go out. Right. But when you're welcomed, it doesn't matter where I am, what golf course I'm playing. When you're welcomed, by the starter, by the person checking you in, by whomever it may be, I think that just, it makes such a huge difference. And that takes effort. And I appreciate the ones that do it really well every single day with every single person that they come across. That can't be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till you get to Bandon.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No, then there are a lot of places. I shouldn't make it seem like Bandon's the only place that does it, but I think that's a great answer to it, because it does make a huge difference.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, I don't know I worked in retail when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and granted I was in high school, but like, I'm sure there were times where I came off as a jerk. The one time I interact with a human, right? That's all it takes.
Yeah.
And these people do it over and over and over again. And when it's really, really good, I just really appreciate that.
Yep. Makes sense. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment you can't live without?
Ooh, there are two things. So one, my little Bose speaker that attaches to my pushcart handle.
Nice.
Because I am a music, you know, I listen to music on the golf course. I'm one of those. Respectfully, don't get me wrong, but I do listen to it. And then the other thing that I have just a massive collection of, and I love them. There's a little company out in in the Northwest. I think they're out of Oregon. They're photo ball markers. And so you send them actually online, you upload a picture, can be whatever you want it to be, and they create a ball marker out of it. And they're amazing. So I've got three or four of my kids over the years that are on a ball marker. I've got a Pearl Jam logo. I've got that Range Life logo. I've just got all these different ones that I just constantly collect. And I always have one. I have a Cubs one. I just constantly have them around. Actually, there's five sitting here on my desk right now as we speak. So yeah, those are the two things that you'll probably always see me with.
Okay. So if Darren and I send you a picture of us, then you would have one made and put it on your desk?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I'll just do that anyways. You don't have to. I have pictures of you. Don't worry.
Oh, geez. Why am I worried? I'm really worried now because of what you do in your day job. I'm worried.
That's right. I need to get a ball marker with Singenor on it.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I'll see if I can work on the photo part of that. All right. So when you play,
yes.
just as a kind of a general question, what's your handicap? What kind of player are you? What tees and yardages do you like? Do you care? Do you move around?
I didn't track a handicap until I think last year. Mm-hmm. So I'm an 11 right now.
Cool.
Which means, I can shoot a 90 or an 80. Given whatever day it may be.
Sure.
But yeah, so I'm about 11. We don't play anything longer than 6,500 yards ever. So that's about where we top out. We're usually somewhere in between, like, you know, 62. That's kind of my group's, kind of bread and butter. That's where we like to hang around. That way, you know, par threes aren't too crazy. Par fives are kind of gettable sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, that's usually where we hang out.
Okay, cool. I think that's perfect. You know, Darren and I have long, we've talked about it so many times on this podcast, that's a joke, but about playing from tees that are right for you.
Yeah. And my guys are, my group is pretty cool. We'll mix up tees, you know, we'll play around where we just go red, white, blue, red, white, blue, red, white, blue, and just play that way.
Sure.
We play a lot of match play, so who cares, you know? So we kind of mix it up, especially some of the courses that we play, let's say 30 times a year, right? Like, we just start to invent our own golf course and our own distances.
Cool.
That is the best way to do it.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. I have so much fun when I do that too. Who's the most interesting person you've ever golfed with? Now, clearly you haven't golfed with Mitch or I, so.
It's true. I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I don't think I've golfed with anyone sort of semi-famous or famous necessarily. I did play golf. I'll never forget it. I was at Ravislow, a popular Chicago golf course here, Donald Ross. And I was playing with an older guy, you know, probably, I don't know, he's older than me. Maybe he was 60. A big, huge, athletic dude, right? And but he was super cool. All he did all day, he was left-handed. All he did all day was just make pars over and over and over again. And but he was a great kind of playing partner. We walked together. He had a bunch of great golf stories. You know, he's one of those dudes. He's retired from a city gig. You know, he's a union guy or whatever. You know, driving a garbage truck or something. So you can kind of hear him speak, just like that Chicago Southside guy. And on the 18th hole, he's like, he says, let me see your driver. He's left-handed, mind you. I'm like, okay. So I handed my driver thinking like he's going to swing right-handed and hit driver on 18 with my driver. He flipped it upside down.
Nice.
And hit it upside down. And he still outdrove me. He had a nice, pretty little fade. So a pretty little fade down 18 and then handed it back to me. He's like, I like it. I was like, all right, man. But yeah, that he was a cool dude. I whenever I go to Ravislow, because we play that a couple times a year too, I always think about that guy, hoping like he'll be around somewhere so I can say hi to him again, because he was a good time.
Did you not exchange numbers and say, hey, if you're around, let's go play?
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Okay.
Should have.
I know. That's all right.
Should have.
That's all right. But those kinds of I love when you meet people like that.
Oh, it's
I mean
the
that
best.
All of a sudden Absolutely. You just connect with them and they're fun and they have a good time and you like being yeah. with them. What else is there?
Yeah. And he was like, he was one of those guys that was, he's a very good golfer, but, you know, a bogey didn't break his brain and turn into a psycho. You know what right. I mean? He was yeah. like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
So
I love the non-psycho part of that. Yeah. Okay. Tell us your best. And this is kind of a tough question given how fanatic you've been about golf. What's your best golf course story? And it can be cool, weird, crazy that you've seen done on a golf course. Go ahead, just go off.
Yeah, well, the upside down driver was a pretty crazy moment. I've never seen that before. But actually, so the golf tournament that I coordinate and host or whatever, every year we do, one of my sort of co-captains or co-chairs or whatever built a spinning wheel. And every year we put the spinning wheel on a different hole of the golf course we're playing, and it has you do, you spin the wheel and it has you do different things. So, you know, one year we had like something simple, like spin around three times and then tee off. Right. But we always had a camera going, which was amazing. Cause then after the round, we watched 48 grown men
fall over
spin around and try to hit a golf club. And then another time we had, my niece's driver, who was six at the time, on, a par three. And so you had to hit everyone had to hit the par three with this little baby mini driver, which was hilarious. So we would do those kinds of things and then we'd collect all the video. And of course I would edit them together, maybe put a little music behind it or something. And then we would just have a watch party and watch each of us just be foolish, on the golf course on at least one hole.
That sounds but awesome.
It's the funniest thing. It's a blast. It's so much fun. So you can tell we take things very seriously on the golf course.
Very.
Yeah. Brilliant. I want to steal that for like tournaments, like church tournaments and just, you
know,
fun tournaments, not heavy competitive tournaments. I think that would be, that would be great.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And like we kind of eased our way into it and, you know, it's every year now it's become a thing where, you know, you see the sign as you pull up, you know, the people that aren't planning it, they're just the players and they're like, what are we going to have to do? You know what I mean? It's like, it becomes like a whole thing. So yeah, it's pretty fun.
It's outstanding. All right. Final question. This is our bonus question today.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-parter. I've kind of put these together now. What makes a round of golf fun for you? But also, what makes a golf course great?
So the first one is pretty easy for me because I've talked about this before. The people that I'm with make the golf fun for me. You know, there are very few instances, maybe it's because I'm not very good, but there are very few instances where I can tell you about a shot, right? I don't have the sort of golf course brain that a lot of you guys kind of do, you know, where you can remember every single hole. Now, very specific courses, I can do it. But most of the time I can't tell you those sorts of things. But what I can tell you is who I played with, what we talked about, how much fun we had, no matter where I am, no matter, you know, what golf course we're on. That's what always kind of sticks with me. So it's always about my playing partners or the people that we meet, right, on a golf course that really can make a golf, that makes golf enjoyable for me. The other one.
Okay, wait, before you move on, can I just interject?
Sure.
So based on what you've told me, you and I will be riding in or walking on a golf course together, and Darren and Eric will be walking a golf course because they are, you know, kind of, they have an SD card for a brain when it comes to golf holes
right.
and specificity of golf.
Yeah. See,
and
I can't.
I am totally where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like appreciate a golf course and the brilliance of a hole and all that kind of stuff. But like, yeah, I kind of, you know, I got other things. I'm listening to a song or I'm talking to Mitch about whatever.
Yeah. You know. I'm just telling you that you'd rather be walking with me on the golf course than Darren. That's all I'm saying.
Most people would think that though, Mitch.
Yeah, that is true.
All right. So what makes a golf course great?
A golf course is great if it gives each type of player an option, at least a couple times around. So it's, and I think I'm not in the minority here. I was lucky enough to play Skokie Country Club with a friend of mine, Chris Campbell, and he is a hell of a golfer, great golfer. And so, but his approach to holes and my approach to holes should be different without being penalized necessarily. And that's, I feel like, the fun of a golf course. If you can have, these different sort of views or options or angles or whatever you want to call it, to a golf hole, I think is just super fun. It kind of, you know, banging driver, whatever, 14 times in a row and regardless of outcome is boring. Like make me think about things a little bit and then I'll enjoy it. Like Mammoth Dunes is a perfect example of that. That's why I love Mammoth Dunes.
Yeah. Well, we all love Mammoth Dunes.
Yeah. Right. Well, like I played Mammoth Dunes with another guy, with the Golf Chat kids, on our Twitter trip up to, Wisconsin last year. And he shot, I think, a 73 or something on Mammoth Dunes. But he grinded his way through it because he was selecting the more difficult path.
Right.
Right. And meanwhile, like I can create my own difficult path. I don't need help. So it's nice to be able to, you know, to do that and still enjoy a round of golf.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's essential David McClay kid right now too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that whole idea, is so, yeah.
Yep. And hopefully we're going to try to put together a David McClay kid trip to Gamble Sands. End of this summer. And
great.
Chris, you will be one of the people invited on that. So,
and you will flip at Gamble Sands.
Oh, I can't. I've seen pictures of it. It looks amazing. Yeah, David
McClay kid calling in the background right now.
It could. Well, he's calling to say, stop talking about me. But he does that occasionally. All right. Well, this has been great. I was going to say, I feel like we go on for hours, but we will.
We already did.
It'll just be broken up after this. So, right. Can't tell you again how excited and cool it is that you're going to be hanging out with us while we do these podcasts and helping us with all the producing that you're going to be doing. And I'm grateful for golf origin stories.
Thanks, I really man. Am. I'm glad it brought us together. I'm so glad I did it just so I can say that now I can help you guys out. So
there you go. Dee, any parting with shots here?
Well, I have no parting shots. I mean, I'm looking forward to doing this. And as always, we have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Hit us on the socials at Golf Trip Experts with your questions, your comments, pretty much anything you want to say or talk about when it comes to the world of golf travel.
And again, you can find Chris at Chris McEwen, McEwen, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and of course, listen often to Golf Origin Stories. Find That Range Life on YouTube and just connect with Chris. Because as you can tell, if you've listened to, how long has this been? We've done like 6 hours now.
Right.
No, but obviously this is going to be fun and love having you on, man. And we'll talk to you all soon. And just remember this, Chris had a dream. Chris indeed had a dream. That became Golf Origin Stories. Of course, his other dream was getting to work with me and Darren, but that's a different show. But his dream was Golf Origin Stories. And we three hope you have a dream you can make happen as well. Thanks for listening. Take us away, the man, Tom Pitt. So long. I'm running down a dream.